Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and indeed from around the world. Our contact information, then we'll go right to our callers on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. First up today is Lee, listening in Silver Springs, Maryland, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lee.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. I just have a quick question. Lately in my church, I've noticed that there's been a little change in direction. For example, my church is now accepting practicing homosexuals as members. And I'm told that, you know, the word will help change them. If they come to the church and they're married, they will be welcomed in like any other person who may be coming out of sin. And they tell me that's okay because they're coming into the kingdom, and because they're married and they're homosexual, that doesn't make any bearing from their membership as a part of the church. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that anyone that comes into a genuine Christian church is one who says, I want to follow the precepts and the principles of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which is to say, I want to come out of Satan's world. I want to be part of the kingdom of God. If they want to remain in the city of man as opposed to the city of God, then they will continue in the behavior that is part and parcel of an earthly kingdom. But if they want to join those who are principles of the kingdom, then they want to conform their lives as well. So it seems completely unrealistic for someone to be a practicing homosexual to want to be part of a healthy, well-balanced church. In fact, because churches exercise church discipline, if they were to be admitted as members, they'd have to be excommunicated as well, pushed back into Satan's world so that they can see the differences between the principles of the kingdom and the principles of Satan's world. So it is incongruent for someone who is, let's say, involved in polyamory, has many loves, or polygamy, has many wives, or polyandry, has many husbands, to want to join a Christian church, because all of those behaviors are behaviors that are in opposition to that which comprised the principles of the kingdom. So either the church has changed and become like the world, or the world wants to come into the church and become like the church. I mean, those are the two options. If the church becomes just a social organization that doesn't have any standards, doesn't have a statement of faith, allows anyone to take communion, even though it can be hazardous to your health, as Paul says, then it's no longer really a church. And then the question that you're asking is a moot question, because this is just a society within societies. It is a society of friends who do whatever they want. But if you are genuinely a church committed to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, then someone who is involved in practices that are diametrically opposed to the principles of the kingdom and very harmful to themselves and to anyone else brought into the relationship. For example, if they brought a kid into the relationship, all of the sociological statistics are clear. This has nothing to do with whether you're a Christian or not, but the sociological perspective is that children are best helped by gender-differentiated parenting. So here you have a couple coming into the church that would be doing harm to a child, and no church would want to be part of that.
Okay. So if I continue to go there, am I a part of that belief system?
Well, if you're in a church that sanctions behavior that is diametrically opposed to the principles of the kingdom, what I'm saying is that is not an authentic church. And I would think as a Christian, you would want to be part of an authentic church.
I see. All right. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brad. He's listening in Hayden, Idaho, KTAC. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Hank. My son asked me why God would create people knowing they would maybe eternally punished in hell. And this created a struggle within me to follow God's first commandment, love him with all your heart, because I could not fathom doing the same. And therefore, I'm kind of grappling with the idea of the annihilation principle. Tell me, am I off base here, or is this unbiblical, or...
Oh, yeah, it's a very unbiblical. God, who is one of love and justice, does not arbitrarily annihilate the crowning jewels of his creation. Far from rubbing us out, he graciously provides us the freedom to choose between redemption and rebellion. God is never a cosmic rapist who forces his love on people. If people do not want a relationship with him in time, he does not force that relationship on them in eternity. Otherwise, heaven would not be heaven. Heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. But I think that there's a further issue that you should think in terms of salving your own heart, and that is when you had your son, you knew that your son would one day die. You knew that your son was going to experience pain and suffering. And yet you chose to have your son. Why? Because you felt it better to love with the sure knowledge that your son would suffer at some point, and maybe even your relationship would be breached, than never love at all. And in the same sense, God creates people in such a way that they can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit or reject that. If that were not the case, love would be rendered meaningless. It would be forced. It would be predicted with a certainty that could not be changed. In fact, I was reading just today the views of Islam. Aisha, the young girl that Muhammad married when she was 6 and consummated his marriage with at 9, she was talking in the very same terms. She was saying that God creates people in the loins of a human being who are destined for either the houris in heaven or the horrors of hell. So it's all fixed ahead of time. But that is not the God of the Bible. God creates us in such a way that we can respond to his grace or reject his grace. And that's what makes love meaningful. So your son is not compelled to love you. You don't make your son love you with a 45 pointed at his temple. He loves you volitionally, and that's what makes the love meaningful. And this is the same situation that we're in with respect to our Creator. We love him because we desire to love him, and if we reject him, God sanctions that rejection both in time and in eternity.
Do people then suffer, though, for all eternity? I mean, I don't know that I would have had my son if I knew that he was going to, that there was a chance that he would suffer for forever and ever and ever. I don't know.
But that is,
I would have done that.
The suffering itself is a function of what someone wants. So think about your life right now. Imagine that you did not want a relationship with God. That would create great misery and suffering for you. Because we are created in such a way that we don't find our full joy apart from God. We are created with a vacuum that only He can fill. And when God does not fill that vacuum, a whole other host of things seek to fill it, but they never satisfy. So God has created us in such a way that we need to love Him, that we find our fulfillment in doing that. But it's never in a way that's compulsory. It's always in a way that takes into account our will. I've written about this in a book called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. Obviously, the death rate is one per person, so the question that you're asking is appropriate for everybody listening in. Be right back.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the Christian faith over the radio waves, through the written word, and by preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank is closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences detailed in Truth Matters, Life Matters More so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. The Bible Answer Man will return right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our telephone calls. Next up is Bruce, listening in Edmonton, Alberta, CJCA. Hi, Bruce.
Hi there. I got a question about Luke 17:5-10, mm-hmm. where the disciples were asking for their faith to be increased right after Jesus was talking about offenses that should come and whatever. And I don't know, it just seems kind of obtuse and sort of not appropriate as far as what he was talking about. So I'm kind of wondering if they were thinking about faith being the ability to wield miracles and stuff like that.
Well, it is true that if we place our faith in God, we are placing our faith in the one who can do all things, the one who quite literally can speak in the universe, leap into existence. So that's the point. Place your faith in God. If your faith is in God, all things are possible, but it is always appended in Scripture. Paul does it, James does it, Jesus does it, with the phrase, "if it be thy will." And the reason that is appended is that God knows what is best for us, and He is the one in whom we are placing our faith and trust. And if we place our faith and trust in what we can do, it is sheer credulity. If we place our faith in our own faith, that is misplaced faith, if we place our faith in God, it can ever increase, because as you grow in grace and knowledge, your faith grows as well, because your conception of God becomes nearer and more real.
Yeah, but the thing is that a lot of people, including the church I used to go to, teach that if you just have a little bit of faith, you can do all these things. And so if you have more faith, you can do greater things. And,
right, but that's the whole point.
Act like faith is some sort of energy that you can wield.
Faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. And that's the substantive point that I was trying to underscore previously. So if your faith is faith in your own faith, and you can conjure up the right words and so forth, then that is a magic potion. It is not real faith at all. If your faith or trust is placed in God, then that is real faith. So the kind of faith that people in the faith movement are talking about, the church that you referenced was teaching, is not genuine faith. It is a counterfeit kind of faith.
I know, and it's kind of like plugging a power bar into itself and then wondering why it won't work, as far as powering anything.
Sure, good illustration.
I just wanted to ask, though, because it kind of seems odd that they should mention, increase our faith, just right after that. And then Jesus, of course, explained about, the grain of mustard seed and, that even after that, if you've done your duty, you can't brag. That's sort of my summation of what he said in verse 10, I believe it is.
Right, but the point once again is that the prologue to the message is have faith in God. So it is the object of faith that makes faith faithful. Let's go back to the phone lines and we'll talk to Karen next, listening in New Jersey. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was listening to your show the other night and you mentioned that T.D. Jakes and you send me $1,000 and blah, 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 and, he'll do all these miracles for you or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But then, and I I may have misunderstood what you were saying, but I also heard you mention Joyce Myers in that conversation, and I didn't think that she was one of those who sought money to give favors. So I just wanted clarification on that.
Yeah, I mentioned her in the context of teaching what I was just talking about with our last caller, and that is the word of faith. So she misdefines faith. And she'll say things like, God in his word teaches us certain principles about faith. One of them is that we are to call those things that are not as though they were. So what she does is she takes a text, she rips it out of its context, then she alters it a little bit, and she feeds it to the faithful who oftentimes don't know that she has tampered with the text. Because the text does not say that we can call those things that are not as though they were. It says that God calls those things that are not as though they were. So she has tampered with the text, and she does that so that she can present a gospel that is very, very different from the biblical gospel. For another example, she says, there is no hope of anyone going to heaven unless they believe the truth that I present. You cannot go to heaven unless you believe with all your heart that Jesus took your place in hell. Well, the teaching that she has is that Jesus did not finish his atonement work upon the cross. He had to go to hell and there finish the work of atonement. Now, obviously, I do not believe that, and I don't think that anyone who's read the Bible believes that, but she says that I have no hope of going to heaven because I don't believe what she's teaching. So what she's doing is tampering with the main and plain things of Scripture and is feeding that in a very delightful style to people, but, you know, in this particular case, it's the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. You bite into the apple, and if it has a little bit of cyanide in it, it is still going to poison you, and this is a megadose of cyanide.
Wow, I didn't realize that she was, wow.
Well, let me give you an example of what you started out asking about. I mean, I gave some of the other examples that are very, very serious. But here's Joyce Meyer actually talking about how you can get out your checkbook and you can have your checkbook hear the word of the Lord.
I got fire in my belly tonight because I know that there's power in life, in right words, that words are containers for power. And I don't care what kind of a mess you've got, I am begging you tonight to stop talking about it and start talking about what the word says and what you can have. Make yourself a list, do some work, do some homework, make sure you've got a scripture to back up every one of your confessions. We're not talking about some magic, goofy, you know, weird, new age thing. I'm talking about doing what the Bible says, calling those things that be not as though they are, prophesying to the dead dry bones in your life. Oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Maybe you need to get your checkbook out and say, oh, you checkbook, hear the word of the Lord. You are not going to stay empty all of your life. Oh, somebody says, well, this is just too weird for me. Well, then just stay broke. What you're doing's not working. You listen to me, checkbook. The first 10% of everything that goes into you is going to God's work, and you are going to be full to overflowing. And I am going to be blessed, and I'm going to be a blessing.
Now, there are as many problems there as there are words. I mean, there are so many things. She, of course, took that verse that I talked about in Romans and prostituted that verse. She's teaching that faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. But she's also hinting at a give-to-get scheme. In other words, it is not giving because you want to extend God's kingdom. It's giving because if you use words of faith and speak to your checkbook, or if you give 10%, then you're going to be filled to overflowing. you're not going to have negative things, you're going to have positive things. But the truth of the matter is, that's over-promising and underperforming, because the Bible does not promise any one of us health and prosperity. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So we press on through a veil of tears. No matter what we face because we know God gives us the grace we need when we need it. And we have the hope, as co-consummators of the kingdom, that one day there'll be a time in which there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. In the meantime, we wait for what we do not have, and we expect it earnestly, and that is the hope of glory. So this kind of theology promises so much and performs so little, and that's why you see so many hordes coming in the front door of these auditoriums, cheering loudly, but you don't see the broken lives falling out the back door, not knowing what to believe or who to trust, because the formulas simply did not meet with expectations. Be back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.